sign in as myself.
Yes, you'll have to switch to your profile.
Oh, we have Ben in the background this week. Cool.
Yes, we do. Go up and all the way over.
What are you telling him how to do exactly?
No, I'll how to sign into his profile on the PS4. The power
one. You weren't supposed to really answer.
Switch profile? Yeah. There you go.
Ruins the whole joke.
Up, start to the left.
Now he's choking on a Triscuit, and I'm trying not to laugh.
Obviously, we don't have that same problem, do we?
Of course not. Who eats Triscuits?
We're wonderful people.
I can't top that.
They're better if you put a glob of semen on top of them.
That was a funny joke from Paladin.
We're doomed.
Oh, frick.
Find out a wave! This is Superhero Time with XV.
Can I get involved in this? We can make it a three-way.
Hey, Mickey.
You like spankings, right?
Paladin.
Woohoo, not me.
Ken.
Okay, let me pull it out.
And Fort Max.
Okay, it's back in.
So this week on Superhero Time, it's questionable purchases and questionable TV watching decisions. And it's not all about power playback, either.
Uh-oh.
Not all.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It's like a third.
Something like that, yeah. Well, there is one TV watching decision this week which wasn't questionable at all.
One. Just one.
Yeah. One out of three. You know what I'm talking about.
One out of three ain't bad.
Yeah. That's almost 33%. It's superhero time, man.
A third?
No, not Lupin.
I said a third, not the third.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. Movie War.
Yeah. You know we have to watch that when it gets subbed, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Like, it's got Gaim stuff.
Gaim.
It's got Gaim stuff. It's got, like, utter ridiculousness. We have to.
It's got Ryoma.
Yeah.
Like, I think we had a pass on the last couple. Well, we wanted to pass on the movie War Before Last, but we watched it anyway and regretted it. But we passed on the last one, so we're due up for covering another one.
That was the one where he threw the driver in the lava, right?
Ultimatum.
Yeah. That was enough for a couple of years, I think.
That was Ultimatum,
it's hard to
right?
keep track of this sometimes.
That was Ultimatum, right? I get the titles confused sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, Ultimatum.
Yeah. What was last year's movie war called?
Sengoku something or other.
Sengoku something or other. I'll buy that.
Yeah, it didn't go by like the standard naming format.
Probably because they ran out of, you know, simple single
standard
word
names.
To use.
Now it's Movie War Full Throttle, so.
Which is still not really the typical format.
No, because it only directly references one of the writers, and not the one I like.
Yeah. So, this week we had the full Dino Charge theme leak.
Which was a surprise.
And it, also surprising, it's not bad. Like, by comparison?
It's a different song.
Time.
not just the MMORPG.
It's a mostly different song.
Mostly different, but it's still better than, well, what was God.
Well, it's not using, you know, that same bass music. And all it's really keeping is, like, the catchphrase part of the previous openings.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that's more than a little step up, I think.
It's pretty much Zio'd.
Yeah, it feels very Zio.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I like Zio. I mean,
we still won't watch the show, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll watch a couple episodes.
At least they have, you know, different writers this time. And I think, isn't Jonathan Zacher off of it?
I don't think it's so much the writers, it's the producers.
Yeah, exactly. Jonathan Zacher is off of it, I believe.
Yeah,
his name
hasn't
been heard at all.
So that might help.
Cross your fingers.
How many years of Bad Ranger shows have we had now? Is it four or is it five?
Four.
4 years of unwatchable television?
Yes, 4 years of unwatchable television.
Are we counting the G2 of
Power Rangers? That was completely watchable.
That was great.
Plus, technically, that was still Disney.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah.
So during the Disney years, how many years do we go without a watchable season?
Was it three?
I like Mystic Force. I just thought it was rushed. So I would just say Overdrive and Jungle Fury.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Jungle Fury was
even
fine.
Jungle Fury is not completely irredeemable.
I was able to watch Jungle Fury all the way through. I could not get more than halfway into one season of Samurai or Megaforce.
Isn't it bad that we're at a position 5 years down the road where, like, man, we miss Disney being in charge.
Well, it kind of takes me back to 2004, 2005, when Energon was on, and people were like, I miss Beast Machines. It's pretty much the exact same thing, too, because it was widely called out as the worst thing of its time, and then we got to Energon, and people knew better.
Honestly, even at the time, I didn't think Disney years were that bad. I mean,
they weren't that bad. Right.
I mean, Dinostorm, I like Dino Thunder, SPD, I like Mystic Force.
You were going to say Dino Storm, weren't you?
Yes, I was. But, you know, I liked the majority of what they put out. Which
to
is
be
a lot
fair,
more
Dino
than
Storm would be an awesome title.
It would, wouldn't it?
Like, it's got that whole Sharknado thing going for it.
It's just like Tyrannosaurus Rex come out of Tornado instead.
Coming, summer 2015 to Sci-Fi Channel. Dino Storm.
Look at the Disney Channel. The lows were so much lower than anything we ever had before.
And yet now?
Their highs are just as fine, but when they dropped, they really dropped down low.
Which was
Overdrive.
I mean, basically Overdrive. Cause it's like,
and Ninja Storm.
Ninja Storm was awful. It had its moments occasionally, but it very much had a sense of they have an entirely new production team. And they don't really know what they're doing yet.
Ninja Storm had part of the problem that, like, the Return of Saban has had, where there's a lot of money to throw at this, but very little direction and kind of questionable production side in terms
there are some parts of Ninja Storm that are actually good, mostly Cam. Forget everybody else. But regardless, that's more than Samurai can say.
Well, and that's kind of my point. Like, the characters actually had some degree of personality. You know, they weren't completely flat like most of the cast of Samurai and Megaforce ended up coming across.
Now, is that because of bad acting or bad, you know, directing?
I would say, like, well, on which side, though? On the Disney side or Saban side?
Well, either one, but specifically with Samurai and Ninja Storm.
Like, I think Ninja Storm, you know, Disney had a lot of experienced people to produce their own TV shows.
Right.
So they probably could have, you know, pulled from one of their other production groups and got people who know how to, like, direct a cast and produce a show and everything.
And even then, I don't think all of the acting in Ninja Storm is as bad as, like, Samurai or Megaforce, where it's like occasionally, when you're just watching an episode, if you want to suffer through that, you will see like a glimmer of something in one cast member or another, but the director's obviously not really bringing anything out of it. I think that, like, say, the girl who plays the yellow in Megaforce, Gia, she could have a lot of potential, but
she's not being used correctly.
She's not being used correctly. And there is the occasional moment, here or there, even for just a second, where it's like, okay, she could probably act if they gave her anything to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. Just as a for instance.
Yeah, and I think, with Ninja Storm, they were giving their actors stuff to work with. Yeah. They were getting more out of those people than the Saban return years have gotten out of their casts.
Here's a good example, is because in the last episode you have those people come back, and even though it's only for a line or two, all the lines just seem so wooden. And it's like, I know you people can do better than this. I have seen you do better than this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
No,
just compare Tommy's lines in that to Dino Thunder.
But, I mean, I think you're on point where, Ninja Storm was a they were starting up a whole new production, and everybody was trying to figure out what to do with it. And, for a Power Rangers series, it was more Disney teen drama than it was a Power Rangers series, just because that's what everybody involved was used to doing.
And then they kind of figured out how to make that work a little bit better in Dino Thunder.
Yeah.
That has a lot of the same elements, but they pull it off much better.
Honestly, the best parts of Dino Thunder have nothing to do with Tommy.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say exactly the opposite's true.
Yeah, but it's like, I really do like the cast that's in there. And I even though, Tommy's position is completely ridiculous in that show, I thought he was still utilized better than he could have been, even though he disappears for half of it.
Well, I think with Dino Thunder is that, it still feels like a Disney teen show, mm-hmm. but Ninja Storm felt more like a commercial for socks from Sears.
That's the way I'm putting it.
It's just a bunch of smiling mannequins moving around trying to sell you something, but there's no emotional connection to anything going on. Well, and though they're smiling, there's nobody actually happy on the screen.
It's like both Ninja Storm and Dino Thunder were written by Doug Sloan, who, worked on earlier seasons. He worked on Theo. And I think he come in season 3, I think?
I don't remember.
I want to say. But regardless, he worked through Theo in the first half of Turbo, unfortunately.
Well, and if you take most of Zeo and the first half of Turbo, you can kind of see.
Yeah,
sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's like Ninja Storm feels a lot more like the first half of Turbo, whereas Dino Thunder feels like refined, like the kind of storytelling he wanted to do in Zeo, but might not have always been able to. Because there is an actual, through line of plot and whatnot in Dino Thunder that actually does work fairly well.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, more or less.
Like, for me, Ninja Storm was hard to watch as it was airing. Dino Thunder was a little easier, but still had a lot of stuff that annoyed me with it. I don't think it was really until SPD that it started getting more consistently strong and watchable for me.
Yeah, and then it went
down into Mystic Force, and...
It starts
all over again.
I don't think Mystic Force is that bad. The thing that really kind of throws it is that is the first series where they had the reduced number of episodes per season. They went from 40 episodes a season to 32, and they're trying to cram a 50 episode series into there, a 50 episode series that focuses a lot on the Red Ranger. So they had to kind of prioritize Nick, I think it was, over basically everybody else. And that's not really necessarily their fault, but it ends up a very lopsided show because of that.
And I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I think before RPM happened, Mystic Force probably represented the high point to me of the Disney years.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. In terms of balance of what they got out of the cast, the setting, I guess I'll call it, the mythology, the world they built around the premise, it all seemed to actually come together the strongest.
Yeah, I mean, and it gets a little rushed, in the last, five episodes or so, but mm-hmm. it does work.
Yeah.
And
it's just the overall execution with the characters that kind of hold it back a bit.
And the cast is actually strong. I wish, if some of them had more to do, Chip or... Yeah. But,
What, Peldon?
Nah, never mind. Keep going.
Microphone. Ken?
Yes, sorry.
Were you saying something?
I thought somebody else was saying something for a second.
It's hard to tell on the show.
Stops anyone.
Yeah, but again, it's just like that was a case of they worked with what they had, and I thought they did a lot better than they could have, as opposed to Overdrive.
Right, Overdrive was like rock bottom.
Right, and that definitely shows that, like, that's a case of it doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't always matter who you have in your production, because that was the same production staff as SPD and Mystic Force.
Right.
And somehow Overdrive happened.
Yeah. Although, like, Overdrive was just kind of it was a failure all around from, like,
Failed colony.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, even the toy line was half mishandled.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
those swords are still so incredibly terrible.
But part of that, too, is just like, well, you know, it's not getting... we can't really work budget-wise to bring all of the Japanese Zords over and sell them at this price point. So, you know, they start...
So instead they made them bigger. What the hell was up with that?
Bigger but simpler. Because, you know, in toy production...
But we'll bring the big, expensive Japanese one over unchanged.
Well, never bring out the Six Rangers at all.
But the big Japanese one was a Toys R Us exclusive, which means it could sell for a higher price point, and they can make Toys R Us pay more for it to start with. You know, it's not the same as having to convince Walmart to carry, you know, Object X at price Y.
That's absurd. I want price Z. Nothing less.
No, that math is too advanced. You're like trying to divide by zero. No, but like with Jungle Fury the next year, they got the toy side stuff dialed down really well.
Yeah, then they figured out how to make it work.
They made pretty much that
whole
line work.
They did that awesome box set with virtually all the Zords at the Toys R Us exclusive.
Of course, the only thing they didn't produce as a new piece, I think, was the Jungle Master Megazord.
Right.
Which seemed weird. But the thing with that, too, is they actually released the Japanese version Megazords. But then
accessories.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the core Megazords, but, I mean, at the same time, those are simple. So, I mean, that was kind of a doable...
The giant rhinoceros over here. Admittedly, that was a Disney store exclusive, so less than nobody bought it, but it was a good gesture.
Yeah, sure.
I hate Side-IO.
Do you have Side-IO?
No, I just hate the design of it in general.
It's not the best, but...
I don't understand this weird diagonal slice I put through his legs. It doesn't make any sense.
It's so that it can transform. The diagonal slice is so it can transform, but the body spins up.
Well, I understand that. That's how the toy works. That's how the mechanics work in it. I'm saying, from a fiction standpoint, I don't really get that.
That's where it seems spins kind of... to stand up.
Okay.
Seems simple enough to me.
I just don't see how it spins from the center between its legs and then it walks afterwards.
Well, the knee disconnects and
martial
reconnects on the opposite
techniques.
Side. Yeah.
I suppose even confusion there is training.
Ding. Well, it could be worse, though. It could be, you know, an antelope with a plug up its butt. Or was that a gazelle?
It was both, technically.
A gazelle-telope.
Well, that was better than the antel I was going for. That just sounds like your weird relative. What were we talking about?
We were supposed to do news at one point, weren't we?
Yeah, but then we started talking about, like, comparative thoughts on Disney versus Saban year. Saban's boring, and Disney had its ups and downs, but it ended up being able to be entertaining. Maybe Dino Charge will be a much belated, you know, up.
What do I always say?
Boring, I have no
the worst
hopes.
Thing something can be.
So no basically, hopes. So be none of what you can be, which is pretty much what Power Rangers slogan should be at this point. Okay, so what is in the news this week, Paladin?
Well, we're getting a Kamen Rider Gaim side story on DVD
with Baron and Zangetsu, I believe.
Yes,
absolutely.
So hooray, more Gaim.
Needs more Bravo. We need, like, a Bravo and Zangetsu side story.
No, we need a Duke and Bravo side story.
Speaking of Bravo, Metal Yoshida has retweeted Giga Beetle.
Who?
The actor who played Bravo.
Oh, that's
really
amazing.
To be fair, Giga Beetle like added him a picture, and it's not like he found it independently.
Still,
but still,
yeah.
Which one was it?
Bravo that... in a chef's hat with a ladle and a spoon.
Yeah, that one.
Ah.
Of course, that also means
hmm?
That now he's aware.
Giga Beetle's newest fan.
More people love Giga Beetle than love us.
All is right in the world.
They're not wrong.
Well, it's okay because we loved Giga Beetle before the majority of people did.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah,
we liked him before he was cool.
Yeah, we got in on the Giga ground floor.
He's popular because of us.
We're Giga Beetle hipsters.
And not because of his own efforts.
Yeah, we're Giga Beetle hipsters. We made Giga Beetle popular with the Giga Beetle challenges.
We should do those again.
Well, I passed along something to him on Twitter this afternoon.
Was it the oil again?
No, no.
No, he would have just added me.
No, man, let me get the link and. Well, I don't want that link, Twitter.
Bravo's Twitter feed is really random.
Do what?
His Twitter feed is incredibly random, these photos.
Here, in the Skype chat, this is what I sent this picture to Giga Beetle and told him to try number 4.
Do we want to know?
Oh.
I can't read the sound Mickey's making.
Oh.
It's either delight or disgust, and I can't tell the difference.
It's disgust.
Oh, okay.
A restaurant is selling this.
But, yeah, for $7.
Where is this?
I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Giga Beetle replied saying they just started selling Pop-Tarts in Sweden. It's a sign. I think he might do it.
Oh, God.
Okay, first of all, the problem with this is the Pop-Tarts you're choosing are the strawberry Pop-Tarts,
yeah.
Which are gross. If you're going to be using Pop-Tarts, use cherry.
I like the strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Well, your opinion is incorrect, and I'm correcting you now. Cherry is your favorite.
I do like cherry a lot, to be fair.
But if you're making an eggs, bacon, and cheese sandwich with Pop-Tarts, I mean...
Yeah, I would think you would use, the brown sugar maple ones.
Yes, I mean...
That might be palatable.
But the thing is, though, for a Giga Beetle challenge, we want this to be as awful as possible within the context of the original thing.
You could send him one of the weird new flavors, like chocolate peanut butter or peanut butter and jelly.
S'mores.
Actually,
you
the
do
chocolate
it with s'mores.
Peanut butter ones are actually pretty good, even for Pop-Tarts.
No, he should do this with s'mores. Because imagine, you know, the fake chocolate and fake marshmallow cream with bacon and eggs.
Oh, what if we take this Pop-Tart sandwich with the eggs, bacon, and cheese and replace the cheese with tofu, bean cheese?
What if we replace, everything with tofu? Just, a slab of tofu between two Pop-Tarts.
A slab of tofu between two tofus.
We lost Ken.
He said he had to reconnect.
With long-lost relatives.
There is a text. Box.
What?
Nothing.
Text box 1.
Text
I did
phone.
Type it for a reason, so that way nobody, y'all could just continue on. But, you know, never mind. Thanks for Max.
Professionalism? What's that?
I was trying. I heard. I was like,
Ken,
I was about to say
how long have you been with this show? You should know not to try at this point.
Well, see, I was remembering. I was about to say something. Then the ghost of JD yelled in my ear, and I just typed it. I was just gonna come back, but no.
The ghost of JD yelling in my ear. It's like some kind of Christmas poem. Wouldn't the ghost of JD be yelling at Fort Max's ear, though? Fort Max!
After the fact, but I remember a couple of times...
But it's not like Fort Max would notice him.
When I came back and announced myself,
no, see,
the entire
the
show
of...
just stopped for a second, and I was like, okay, I should not do that again.
No, see, the ghost of JD is around still because he has this grudge with Fort Max, because Fort Max won't pay attention. And until he can attract Fort Max's attention and actually, get noticed, he can't move on and, you know, do whatever he wants to.
On the bright side, I can actually hear everybody talking, which I have not been able to for the past 5 minutes. So,
Oh.
I think that JD actually needs to take Fort Max and show him the pass so he can learn the spirit of Christmas.
But what road does he take to get there?
Because I can imagine JD dressed up in the Ghost of Christmas Past bathrobe.
Yes! Yeah, yeah.
All right, Fort Max, see, now look at this. Look at this right here. This is where you fucked up.
Also here.
You should have taken that route.
No. Look. Here. This is where it happened. We miss you, JD.
Yes.
But we can still hear you in our heads.
Yep, every time I do something wrong.
I think in some way JD would be happy to know that he is still part of the show. You know, consistently, yes. this far after his passing, he is still part of what this show is.
Yes.
It certainly makes me happy that that's true.
Precisely.
But yeah, I think Gigabiel needs to try this Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich.
Yes.
Precise pooping. Like sniper shits.
I wonder what that would be like after that.
What?
After devouring that.
Oh, what the pooping would be like?
Yeah. What's the deal?
Well, okay, Gigabiel, when you hear this, when you try this, you need to attach a follow-up report telling us what your bowel movement was like after eating this. It's for science, so it's okay.
International science.
Yes.
Food science. The best kind of science.
International food science.
Yes, this sounds all official now.
Yes. It's perfect. Okay, so we were talking about news, and I forget what we were actually talking about. As, you know, happens.
Gaim.
Now we covered that one pretty much, I think. But in related news, the Tokuders are also getting a second magazine DVD exclusive.
Yay. Although, as far as I understand, it's not going to be anything as good as...
No, I don't think it's an actual, like, episode-type thing. It looks like it's just going to be...
I don't think it's Top Ticket's Hyper Battle video.
What I heard was something along the line of it's going to be, like, a Red Ranger clip show thing for half of it, and then a quiz show with Wright and Daigo. Like, it's not going to be actually, like, an episode thing.
Yeah.
Well, the Red Ranger showcase is mentioned as 38 plus 1, so that'll probably be a preview to a degree.
By then, the Ninja will have been revealed in magazines, probably. So.
Yeah, we'll probably get that this week, come to think of it.
Yeah, we've got, you know, only 2 months until it premieres, so.
There are a couple interesting rumors about it right now.
There are always rumors, though.
Yeah. Yeah, remember when Go Busters was basically going to be what Yo-Kai Watch was?
Yeah.
That would have actually made it popular.
Maybe.
Or it would make Yo-Kai Watch completely unmarketable.
Yeah, because, I mean...
By association, you know.
That is a show that, like, in the ratings, it destroys everything that's, like, you know, not like that top five that never gets touched. You know, Sazae-san, Doraemon, Detective Conan, One Piece, and all that. It is like consistently like just like in that middle part of the ratings, and I'm like, damn, what? I didn't even, when did that happen? I am so out of touch.
Yes, Ken, you are so out of touch.
Well,
you don't get
just like Hollow Note said.
So news?
Well, since you're making us watch this, we should discuss the Movie War Full Throttle exclusive forms: Gaim Drive Arms and Drive Type Fruits.
I hate to say it, but I kind of like Drive's,
Well, of course, it's orange. How can you not like it?
But the hat.
It's a gigantic orange sombrero.
No, it's not a sombrero.
No, that's one of those, it's a Chinese...
Chinese?
It is, but Japanese? It's more fun to call it a sombrero.
Isn't that a Chinese thing?
No, it's a Japanese thing.
Samurai hat.
It might be, you know, yeah, it might be from,
I thought the samurai hats were a different shape.
Go watch Ninja Scroll.
Yeah.
They're in there.
Yeah.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Just the snake part.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that is now my favorite drive form. which I guess is good because that's the only thing of Drive I'm going to be watching in the next 6 months.
What I kind of like about this is that the chest tire, it has the shoulder plates from Orange Arms. One's a shoulder armor, one's a hip armor. Which is kind of a neat way to blend those in, lopsided.
Yeah.
Drive Arms looks okay, too, for being, you know, guy dresses Drive.
Yeah. It looks better than a lot of the Rider Arms.
Well, honestly, good news, it's a toy, too.
Shocking. I never would have guessed they'd do that. However can this be? They sold out. Marketing whores.
Why couldn't I get Tokuger Arms Drive? Or guy?
Oh. Just like a giant Tokyo number one head falls on him.
But ideally, it should be the Hyper Resha.
Or just a giant train falls on his head.
Yeah, the Hyper Resha falls on his head and unfolds over his shoulders.
Oh, because it already is a headmaster. Shit.
All they would really need to do is, like, have the middle panels fold down for chest armor, and it would work.
Yeah.
Could totally do that.
Sigh.
Or, you know, you could just comedically have a train fall on Kota and have nothing come of it.
That too would work.
Like,
sure, like, one of the wheels landed on him, because otherwise, you know, Kota would be fine. He could just stand up and walk it out from underneath the train.
I was going to say, you know, it would fall on him and then just, like, you know, dematerialize as things do, and he would pull himself up out of the ground.
Let's try that again.
And it'd be all comedic and stuff.
Or not.
So, anyway, what else is going on?
That's about it this week, really.
Ah, well, then we have a couple other things to talk about here. Fort Max.
Yes.
You spent a lot of money last week.
Yes, I got Legacy Titanus.
Why?
I don't know.
To be fair, at least...
On a scale of 1 to 10, what level is your
regret? No, wait. On a scale of 1 to Tor... On a scale of 1 to Tor, what is your enjoyment of this toy?
God.
Is Tor 10?
Tor is
because that seems wrong.
Tor is Tor.
Okay, on the scale of that's so Tor, where does Titanus rate?
It's kind of sort of Tor.
Well, why don't you expand on that for us a little bit while I tweet about this?
Well, it looks good. It actually has its neck is fully jointed in the sort of like the Dragon Sword's tail is.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it only has one Zord Builder port, and about the only thing that can fit in it is the Dragon Sword's tail.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, do you have any other Zord Builder parts to try, or just the legacy ones?
I have most of the samurai stuff, but I'm too lazy to dig them out.
Well, you need to go back
and
buy
samurai
all the
stuff, all right.
you need to go back and get all the Super Megaforce stuff, so you can try that in Titanus's port. How does the how does the Dragonzord chest plate attach?
It slides in. It doesn't connect using a Zord Builder port.
Damn.
Well, for that much money.
I mean, you know, if anything, should have had a Zord Builder port, because then you could, like, put, you know, giant phalluses on the front and pretend it's Space Titanus. What were they thinking?
Of course, you just get a regular phallus and just glue it on the front.
Or some duct tape. I mean, it doesn't have to be glue.
Now, one thing that is kind of... It comes with little braces that go over the Legacy Megazord, so... Sorta knees, just to keep the toy from falling forwards, because it's even more top-heavy than it is with just the Mega Dragon Zord, because there's die-cast on Titanus' paws and the chest piece.
And there's no electronics, right?
Right.
$200.
So can't even carry around
even...
small animals this time.
No, it's not carrying around small animals, it's chasing small animals.
You can do both.
Not at once. It can't chase around the small animal it's carrying inside it. You know what would have been great? Remember how they had the remote-controlled, I think they called it the Charging Megazord? They needed to do that with Titanus. Like, it didn't have to be wireless, it could just be, like, the cheap wired remote-controlled car, but it needed to be, you know, remote-control, you could steer it and just terrorize everything with Titanus, instead of just, you know, flipping the switch and letting it roll down a hallway. See, I should design all toys ever, because I have the best ideas. So, Fort Max, how is Legacy Ultra Zord?
Heavy.
Once
sadly,
you get all...
it is not heavier than Fortress Maximus.
It felt light, though, in the package.
Well, putting
is
all
it
the
just
weight
bad
of the...
packaging, then, maybe?
Yes, Paladin, the package is full of helium. Makes the toy lighter. Keeps it fresh, too. It keeps the plastic from oxidizing. Same technology they use for potato chips. No, I mean, it makes sense the Ultra Zord would be really heavy because it's got two other Megazords worth of diecast in it on top of what Titanus has by itself. The chest piece and the paws, the only die-cast parts in Titanus?
Well, let's see. All four paws, there's part of the chest piece and all 10 wheels.
The wheels are die-cast.
The part that...
Yes, they have rubber tires,
constantly in contact
too.
With something.
Die-cast hubs and rubber tires.
Yes.
That just seems so unnecessary. I mean, while they were at it, why didn't they just put a big slab of die-cast in the base plate?
I will say the diecast wheels and rubber tires seems like the most phasery thing ever.
Wow.
No, but there's no clear window, so it's obviously garbage.
Well, the hubcaps are painted.
You know, the
Could
other
you
day on
push
the other the other day he
down
posted
the stairs and have it remain intact.
The other day he posted something about the 2015 Robots in Disguise toys about how. This is all in one sentence. Painted windows and no paint. Just think about that for a second. He's complaining how they have painted windows but have no paint.
Wait.
Well, I know what he means. That is poor phrasing.
It is poor phrasing, and it deserves to be made fun of. We're fulfilling our obligation to the internet by making fun of the people we historically do not like. And we have not liked Phaser for the last 15 years. Give or take.
Well, I kind of like that nobody likes him. That's kind of fun to not like him.
Him and
everybody
Bane.
Loves a villain.
So, you paid normal retail, right, for it?
Yeah.
How do you feel with your purchase? Are you satisfied with what Titanus delivers for what you paid for it?
Not quite, but Daizujin needed his chariot.
His chariot of dickery?
Yes.
Chariot of dickery. I guess the phalluses are fitting then, aren't they?
I was going to say, to be fair, Space Titanus would be more appropriate because it actually would be a chariot of dicks. But you take what you can get.
Yeah.
All right, so on our next subject, Ken... You also made questionable decisions in the last week.
Yes, I did.
Just laying the last around, week.
Laying around yesterday, I had a new TV that had, you know, Netflix and all that fun stuff built into it. So I was just
you
seeing
bought a
how
new
well
TV?
I did.
What kind? Is it nice?
It's a Samsung 32-inch smart TV.
Nice, nice.
1080p.
Apparently, so. Well, the best thing he could get on it was the... Megaforce finale, so I wouldn't say it's that great.
Oh
no, no, no! Well, I mean that was just what I was just scrolling down. I was like, you know, I'll go ahead and look at the last episode. Just
Ken,
see.
Before you get into that, I wanted to ask you something. I saw you mention on Twitter that it has MKV support.
Yes. Okay, there is a hitch. There is a hitch.
I was going to ask you, does it do styled subtitles correctly?
That's the hitch. Okay, right. So if the subtitles are basic, like, say, Gokaiger or Kamen Rider Double from Overtime, they will play kind of stripped down. The subtitles will be kind of stripped down. If there is text on the top and the bottom, it'll all end up on the bottom one line right after the other. But otherwise,
It plays fine. It looks good. Kamen Rider Double actually looks really, really good, even though it's only 720. Even though it's only 720 encodes, it actually looks really good on the 1080 TV. At least 32 inches. A bit bigger. You might be able to see.
Well, Double wasn't really 1080 quality to begin with.
And here's the thing: like at 32 inch, you can't really tell the difference between 720 and 1080.
Correct. Yeah.
There's not enough pixel space to actually make that distinction.
But that was just the right size for my room.
No. I'm not saying don't get a 1080p TV if you can, even at 32 inches. Just
right. But regardless, so that looks good. Now the problem is when you get to ones that have more stylized fonts. So anything from Overtime, from basically Forza and Busters forward, if I try to play it, the entire TV crashes.
Now,
it crashes your TV.
Yes, and it'll play.
That's an unusual talent, then.
It'll play up until the point that a subtitle will pop up, and then at that point,
it freaks the hell out.
It just shuts down. I was like, God damn. But on the other hand, it's still useful.
So that means okay. So if you're playing like Forza soft subs, that means your TV supports 10 bit. In code.
Because
10-bit H.264.
Yeah, because like I tried trying to play this week's episode of Tokuger, and so you get to that the shot of Akira walking up the tracks, you hear his music start in the background, him tip his hat down, and it looks great for those 10 seconds until he opens his mouth, and then the entire thing freezes up and bugs out.
Are you sure that the subtitles crashed the TV and Akira didn't just make the TV so depressed that it wanted to die?
No, because I tried it on other shows.
Oh, okay. Because
the screen died.
Yeah. I tried it with other shows and other groups and like say the yes. Because the regular group that does Precure, they just do kind of basic fonts. They don't do anything fancy, and that plays fine. So, but then I go to something like, say, Kami, which has fucked up encodes anyway. Sorry, they have screwed up encodes anyway.
You know what? Fuck Kami.
Yes. they have screwed up encodes anyway. Although I was trying for one show that they were the only ones who subtitled it, and
well, that just means you shouldn't watch that show.
Yeah, it does the same thing, and. But, so yeah, it's useful. It's just a little bit more limited than I had hoped. Regardless, I can still connect a hard drive to it and play any MP4s or anything like that perfectly.
Your TV is a slightly better toaster than most toasters.
Yes, it's a slightly better toaster than most toasters.
Yes.
Regardless, that's how I'm watching Gokaiger. But yes, for some reason I decided to watch the Super Mega Force finale because I had half an hour to kill, and apparently I should have watched something else. So I watched it on Netflix, so I did not see the extended version. I did go back and take a gander at the clips of that just to, you know, further make my life horrible because I'd already given up all hope at that point.
And it wasn't
so,
a new record.
The amazing is that...
Wait, what? Say that again. We lost you a little bit there, Ken.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, the amazing thing about the Super Mega Force finale is it fails on every level as a Power Rangers finale and not even comparing it to what Gokaiger did better, which is basically everything that's in this episode. So it's part two of a two-parter. And it starts off, if you remember when Gokaiger, when Octos showed up, I had some friends brief me on what happened before, and it still doesn't sound that great, because basically what happened was that the Megaforce version of Octos, Gil, shows up. In like the last two episodes only, he just shows up and starts blowing everything up, and then they have the fight with the Megazords, you know, in the sky. Except the fact that Orion, the Silver Ranger, is not there, so there is half-assed dialogue of Noah saying that, oh, he can remote pilot the Q-Rex now for some reason.
Sure.
And they don't acknowledge the fact that for some reason it has wings. Or why it has wings, or how it has wings. Which is the Mega Winger wings, of course, you think.
No, just wings.
Yeah. You'd think, you know, space being a very popular series, they would acknowledge it, but no. No. Okay, so, but, it, of course, that ends the same way. They go crashing down into the city. Stuff blows up. They get knocked out. They're separated out. Basically, you know, like they were in Gokaiger. Of course, you know, the Emperor. I don't even know if they named him in this episode. I didn't even catch it.
Marvo. I only remember that because I read the synopsis.
Okay, Marvo. That seems slightly insulting considering what this is based off of.
I thought it was Marvo.
So, you know, he delivers, you know, a more generic version of the same threat that Octos did. And then, you know, the Rangers go wandering off. Now, in Gokaiger, now, here I am going to compare it. You had this, half an episode of them seeing the destruction and the people and helping here and there, seeing the old allies of the Rangers, other Rangers help them here and there, which was nice. The only Ranger cameo you had was Goshi, but seeing their supporting cast members here and there has its own little, you know, nice meaning to it. In Megaforce, they cut away to actual cameos. And on the one hand, this is kind of cool. On the other hand, it's really, really weird. Because, okay, first thing you see, people trapped under rock and rubble, is Carter and Dana. And they're in their Lightspeed uniforms. For some reason, Carter's wearing a fireman's helmet. And it looks really stupid with that. Now, if you had had Carter in fireman's gear, and, you know, then, you know, flash the, you know, Lightspeed rescue helmet across his face, that would look cool. That would look okay. But he's in his regular Lightspeed uniform with a jacket and, you know, jeans and a shirt. But he has this big fireman's helmet on. I'm like, okay. And then the helmet disappears between shots. So that's a good omen right there.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to a couple other things. TJ and Cassie help some people out of an elevator. There was another one. Leo helps somebody get somebody's pet because if for some reason he's on Earth instead of Mirinoi, but he's not fighting. So that doesn't make any sense. But that gets made less sense in a minute. Anyway, then you get this car teetering over the edge of a highway. And then suddenly Tommy Oliver just drops down onto the car because that seems like a good idea. Did he drop out of the freaking sky?
Did he drop down into the side that was still over the road or over the, you know, edge?
Oh, he dropped onto the side that was on the road, but he just like pounds down onto it. I'm like, dude, I don't think you want to shake that. Then it continues to get a little weird because the helmet that flashes over his face is the White Ranger. And for some reason, he has Saba with him. Now, you know, as pools of powers coming back and whatnot, Saba's pretty, dead. He's pretty dead.
He was in the power chamber.
Yeah.
Well, that got blown up, too.
The power chamber that blew up, you mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I can almost accept, like, kind of pretend, like, okay, powers...
this is Tommy. He probably took all that stuff with him when he left.
He probably did. okay, anyway, so yeah, he pulls the kid, you know, out of the car with Saba. Okay. And then, you know, they cut to where everybody's gathered around fires and whatnot and wondering, where are the Power Rangers? And then, of course, you have Power Rangers just hovering over them and smiling, though not actually doing anything. And you see, like, Wes and Damon. Okay, on the one hand, it's like, first, why is Damon here? And two, why is he in his Terra Venture uniform?
Now, he didn't have to pack any luggage.
I understand the concept of making him recognizable. Mm-hmm. And that was fine, like in the Lightspeed Lost Galaxy team up where they just arrived and they're in their Terra Venture uniforms. Okay, it's like, okay, that, sure. God knows how long Damon's been here.
Probably since that team up.
Just in those coveralls.
Uh huh.
And it's like, okay, that's a little weird. And then Crone's there also, because all these Lost Galaxy people are just there. apparently she's stolen her powers back from Kendricks, or stolen Kendricks' powers back from her.
Well, you know, they just put the sword. Again. They just put the swords in the stone when they're not using them, and, you know, anybody who's chosen can just grab one out and go.
I guess. They just busted
out
of there.
Okay, no, I mean, there's like, basis for that. Not that I'm saying that was actually considered when they were putting the scene together, but...
No, you can ass pull that. That's right. Fine. But, okay, and then, unfortunately, we go back to the Super Mega Force Rangers. So, all of that wandering around the Gokaigers did... And, you know, taking in all the destruction and realizing, you know, that, you know, being a hero is the, you know, right thing to do. Is mentioned just kind of offhandedly. Like, oh, yeah, we saw the destruction. What do we do? There's like, oh, we'll beat them. I'm like, okay.
Good plan.
That basically sums up the scene that follows with all of the wooden acting in this. And I'm kind of missing Tommy at this point, to be honest with you.
I'll smash
that says something.
Complaining that they have no weapons or zords, even though they've never lost the original Megaforce zords.
That entire army of Ghost Sager zords they have.
Ken, I'm going to have to slap you now to bring you back to your senses.
Please do.
Can I too, just for fun?
Yeah, that's
yes,
fine.
You can,
everybody get in line.
Everybody gets one because I watch this trash. and then, randomly, Orion just crashes out back in Bosco's ship, and they're the only ones who notice, even though there's civilians all around. Because he shows up, even though he's the Sixth Ranger, he doesn't really matter. That seems to, from what I've heard, that basically seems to be the case. They decide, okay, yeah, we're going to fight next day. I was like, okay. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, damn it. TJ and Cassie were in this episode. Countdown to Destruction was so much better. Wes was in this episode.
End of Time. So much of this looks like they're trying to ape Countdown to Destruction.
Yeah, it looks it's like End of Time was so much better. Leo and Carone and Damon were in this episode. Journey's End was so much better.
Journey's End was okay. It wasn't that great.
Compared to this. Though,
no, I mean, anything's great compared to this. I'm not disagreeing.
You're better than this.
I like Journey's End up until the part where Kendrick randomly comes back alive, but I can understand why they did it because it would have been a shitty thing not to just kind of leave the leukemia patient's character dead. Regardless, I see all these other ones showing up, and I'm just thinking, y'all had such better finales than this. Can we follow what you're doing, please? Because keeping in mind, I am watching the original broadcast version of this episode, and all of the actual cool stuff from Gokaiger's finale, they basically cut out. But we'll get to that. Because then they show up where Dirando, or whatever his name is about to, you know, execute everybody, which I'm surprised they actually keep. But then, you know, the not Gokaiger show up. I don't want to insult them.
Yeah, good.
The super, super mega force, just whatever, their third upgrade. And that is apparently pirates, although I wouldn't be surprised if they never mentioned pirates one time in this entire show. And they probably didn't, did they?
I don't think they did, no.
Why?
Because they're not pirates. They're super forms.
Yeah, sure.
It's not a pirate ship. It's the sky ship.
Let's just ignore the elephant in the room, then.
Yes. That's not a cutlass. Those aren't, you know, flintlocks. They shoot lasers. Not bullets.
They don't shoot little lead balls.
No.
They kept the goddamn skull and crossbones.
Can't you hear the pew 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 sound?
No, well, it's not a skull and crossbones. It's a ranger key and two swords crossed.
Yeah. What are you looking at? God dang it. I could have done so much with that. Anyway. So anyway, the fight ensues from episode 50-51-ish and episode 1-ish, because they use footage from the very first episode of Gokaiger with the dump troop fight also, which is weird. But I guess they're using only the first episode later also, so I guess that was cheaper for them. which is the only thing I can think of. They only had open two files instead of one.
You know, opening more files costs money.
I guess so. Their computers probably couldn't handle it. So yeah, that fight. Now here's the thing. In the broadcast version of this episode, they completely cut out this scene where they used these U-Ranger suits. This is considering that Z-Ranger is used so little in Super Mega Force, they have literally had to add in footage of it at other places. But in the broadcast, in the original broadcast version of this episode, they completely cut that out. So, yeah, like, and when originally watching this episode, I'm thinking, oh, that is like the one scene they will definitely use when they adapt the Power Rangers. And they use it eventually in the extended version. But this 40-second shot of, you know, Silver going to Dragon Ranger and Red going to Tyranno Ranger and then using the armor, it's cut from the basic version that everybody will see. Now, as a Power Ranger, not as an adaptation of Gokaiger, as a Power Rangers episode, that is the stupidest thing possible. Even if it is only like a 30-second clip, the entire point of this stupid endeavor that they have botched up is to be an anniversary season, correct?
That so was one a of the, at one point, I bet.
So one of the few times they actually used the original MMPR suits, they cut it from the version most people will see when they watch it on Netflix or DVD or Blu-ray or reruns. They're freaking idiots. That's the only explanation. So, okay, they go forward. They go through the fight. They run away from Dairando to use a not Bosco's ship to ram it. They try to make a joke about Orion not being able to land. It just falls flat because it's Troy delivering it. And let me tell you, one of the most painful things to see is the Gokai Red suit off. I mean, the Gokai Red suit with the helmet off and Troy's face underneath it.
Ew.
Yeah, I bet.
That's gross. That's just gross.
Did we ever get helmet off Marvelous?
Yes, in the in the final transformation sequence.
Okay.
In the roll call. Regardless, so they crash and they go to fight the Emperor. Meanwhile, the others are fighting not Dairando, and again they cut footage of them using Dekamaster, Princess Shinken Red, Zuban, and Magimother. Because I guess most of those were Disney seasons, so why bother?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that most of that cut fight is then thus cut out completely until they just use the canon and that's that. So, you know, sucks to be other... somebody other than Red and Silver, because in the broadcast version of this, they go up and fight the Emperor, just Red and Silver. And as they're doing it, I'm realizing that the Emperor's voice actor is really, really terrible also, as opposed to, you know, like everything else in the show. And he, like, cracks jokes and stuff like they're fighting him. And, you know, Orion tries to deliver supposedly dramatic lines about, you know, defeating him for his planet, and it just is, it's painful.
Awful.
It's really painful.
You know what they need to do there? They need to do the bison line. For you, this was the most important day of your life. For me, it was Thursday. Or was it Tuesday?
Yeah, you know, right?
Tuesday.
And, you know, I can see, like, Actos delivering that, because, you know, Actos does not... Okay, here's the thing. Actos Gil does not have a lot of character. I'll be honest. One of the weakest points of Gokaiger is some of its villains. Actos. What's that?
What's what?
Hello?
Somebody said I didn't say anything else.
Anyway.
No, only
so,
you're talking.
So, you know, Actos is not, but he does have a presence to him. He is at least menacing to a degree. And he has, you know, illegitimate beef that you see And you see him there for, you know, 10 episodes, at least.
Holy crap, finish this up already. Your summary is worse than the episode, probably.
What? Hey, you made me do this. I'm going to make everybody else suffer.
No,
with
I
me.
Didn't.
You didn't stop it. You didn't stop it. Now sit down.
He's trying to stop it.
Too bad.
And that's why it will go on forever.
Yes. This is all XP's doing. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. I know exactly what I'm doing. So anyway, they kill him, and in the broadcast version of the episode, that's it. There's the big fight, you know, with all the other changes. It's not there. It's in the extended version, but, you know, who cares? Now after the villain's dead, his entire army is wiped out, then, you know, the grunts show up, and then all the other Rangers show up.
You guys clean up.
Yeah, basically, it completely anticlimactic. So they transform. They fight. Now, there is new footage of the Ghostagers fighting. But there's no new footage whatsoever of any of the returning Rangers. So basically, most of them don't do anything because besides New Powers Red Rangers showing up, they try to cut around the Sentai only Rangers as much as possible, in spite of the fact that they used them just an episode prior. And thus, you know, like Tommy shows up, he does absolutely nothing throughout the entire fight that you can see. Absolutely, positively, not a single damn thing.
He had to look for his communicator again.
In the middle of the fight, apparently. So yeah. Basically, the Megaforce Rangers do all of the work while everybody else is just kind of there. And they only use the footage from the first episode of Gokaiger and not 199 Heroes.
And Robo Knight's there again, too, even though he's dead.
He shows up for 5 seconds and then he's gone again. Like, oh, yeah, glad you're here. Bye. Not even a bye. So they win, everybody leaves, and that's the show. That's literally the show. That's it. That's all. That's everything.
Man.
Now, do you have any sort of residual hope for Dino Charge at all now?
Maybe.
After sitting here listening to that?
Knowing that it's a different production team with new actors?
Maybe.
I'm trying to be open-minded.
I'll look at a couple episodes of it and see how it is.
Oh, I'll look at a couple episodes of it, but I ain't gonna be open-minded.
Maybe Dino Charge will be better. Yes. Maybe the next Star Wars movie will be better. Maybe stop learning from experience and just expect the best every time.
I don't expect the new Star Wars movie to be anywhere close to the original
enjoyable
movies.
Yes. Well, that would be true anyway, I guess, if it's anywhere close to the original.
Again, I know what we've said, but the prequel trilogy is about the lowest bar I can imagine.
Operation Overdrive of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a completely failed trilogy.
And of course, considering what we're talking about, it could be worse. It really could be.
Okay, so since Ken spent so much time on that, we're going to take a break now, and we'll come back and do Tokyuger and the other thing.
I'm not coming back.
Well, you're going to have to because you're doing Tokyuger.
I guess I should have paid more attention to the episode then.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
When even Megazord isn't powerful enough, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers summon Dragonzord and Titanus, the motorized carrier Zord. They morph with Megazord to form the ultimate battle machine, Ultrazord.
Say, who's watching where we're going?
Huh? Not me, I'm not.
Uh-oh!
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, too hot to handle.
Man! I don't know if I can last much longer. Come on, hang in there.
Mr. Bucket!
That's right, I'm Mr. Bucket. I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth I will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. We're gonna run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth. I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about. I'm Mr. Bucket.
Whee!
We're all gonna run. I'm Mr. Bucket.
Buckets of fun.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
I haven't played Left 4 Dead in a long time.
Well, you're not going to play it right now because we're going to talk about Tokuger.
It's a different kind of drug.
But it's not Left 4 Dead.
I could play it in game. I've done that before.
But not when we're talking about Tokuger.
No, not when we're talking about Tokuger. I do like Tokuger, so.
No, you should play a game when you're summarizing Drive.
You say that like I haven't.
When you're summarizing Drive?
You made me do it at least once or twice, I think.
What were you playing when you were summarizing Drive?
Probably Smash Brothers.
Well, anyway, for Tokuger this week, Mickey?
Maybe Hyrule Warriors.
Mickey. Mickey, we can hear you not making any sounds.
Loudly.
Okay, back, sorry.
You ben left?
His paint. Yeah.
All right, couldn't so find his pants?
A paint suit. Work uniform.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what are we doing? 37?
37.
In a row.
Oh my.
Wow.
That's a lot. Have fun with that, Paladin. Go, 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 go.
All right, 37. So Akira's walking down a lonesome highway, going down the only way he ever knows. A lonesome, lonely road. Back in the train, Caboose enters a scene with a bunch of lunchboxes she jizzed all in, and they're all excited about it.
Probably. Oh, that's the secret sauce, don't you know?
So everybody picks their lunches. Wright continues his quest for fatness by taking two.
Of course.
And Takata continues to be a pussy and is unable to choose his own damn lunch. Caboose is chastising him for not being able to pick. Owner teleports from somewhere. Was he underneath the cart?
Yes, probably. The roulette didn't know what he was doing, though.
No. Ticket was the one under the cart. He just, like, popped out of the bottom of Ticket.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Their fusion is becoming more complete and his powers are advancing.
And then Mio even calls Takati wishy-washy.
Wishy-washy.
And it's a disaster.
Nice text scroll across the bottom.
As Sakari just looks at Takati in disdain.
In fairness, Hikari looks at everything in disdain.
But in Takati's case, the disdain is deserved.
Well, yes, of course.
He just looks at him like, really, dude? Really? Jesus, I have to work with you.
I love it when, like, you can tell the character is written like that on purpose because the way certain characters react to them. Unlike, say, you know, Ghost Ager, where everybody is just, you know, Ghost Agers. In this case, Takati is Takati, but it's like, people are like, dude. Like, in the show, there's like, dude. Come on, seriously.
Yeah, it's the thing Ghost Ager needed.
Yeah, they needed at least that one character that was consistently just, are you serious?
And for a moment, it was Robo Knight.
For a moment.
Then they broke him.
Look,
and then he died.
Luckily, nobody has broken Hikari.
Not yet.
Or, you know, Akira, but he's already kind of broken in his own special way.
Speaking of Akira, he's phoned home and said, hey, I found another Shadow City. Let's go. So they hop on down the train tunnel into the Dark Land, or whatever the hell they call this shit.
And they're like, Akira, why are you here?
Oh, no reason. Nothing suspicious at all. Hey, look at this. It's not your hometown. Well, let's go.
It's like, oh, well, what's up? Peace out, bitches.
And so the team's like, oh, no, we should still save it. He's like, yeah, well, you can save them later. Let's just come back
later.
When it's more less convenient for you, me.
Akira is a bad liar.
By the time the Monster of the Week shows up, and his design isn't that interesting. He's night-themed, except that his weapon is a hobby horse, which is freaking amazing.
Like I said last week, the monster design's not that great, but they did something really good with it anyway.
Just the way. The true hero of the show.
He has an axe with a horse head and a horseshoe on the other
reaction.
End.
Kagura's reaction is just, ooh, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Because of course she would.
Kagura's interesting because she started out being kind of, well, completely unlikable in the beginning part of the series. Mm-hmm. But as the actress has gone on, she's refined her portrayal of her, and she's actually becoming really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's like, she's like one of the most fun characters to just watch in the background to see what she's doing.
Yeah.
To be fair, there's a lot of that in Tokyo, though.
Oh, there is. Oh, yeah, there is in general. But, like, it's like you can tell. Sometimes it just feels like maybe the actress is probably just, you know, almost ad-libbing it. Because it feels natural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just going to be an anime character for the rest of the series. A little cute one.
Yes,
one's right. About, you know, a foot and a half tall.
Effectively.
Maybe an anthropomorphic cat or something. But
wait, she's going to be Kota?
Yes.
Oh, that, come on, you know.
Well, the Tokyujus immediately engage and morph.
Well, actually, the way this happens is kind of great, is because it's like, right morphs, and then Hikari's like, give me your trains. Because further proof that Hikari is the only one who knows what he's doing. Between him and Wright.
But Takati's a little bit late and doesn't get to give over his train.
He can't decide whether to give his train to someone else or to transform himself. Which clearly should have been the sign that he should give it to someone else.
like not just the train, the entire morpher, just to somebody else.
You know, to Caboose or Ticket.
Yes! Ticket could just ride around on Wright's hand.
So while Blue and Orange fall off a cliff, the rest of the four wrap up this monster battle by parting ways. Yeah, as you do in the middle of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Meanwhile, at the Darkness Disco Palace, Zed is sulking and getting fed up with Granny Goodness's voice.
So your voice annoys me.
Because who wouldn't by this point?
Nor is pontificating about the situation there. Basically, we're just spinning our wheels a lot with the villains this episode.
A little bit. It's coming, but they're just kind of biding their time. Nero also kind of just wondering, it's like, why the hell are you here? What are you doing? Because Nero finally actually realizes...
Nero's desperately trying to find a purpose for being in the show.
Yeah, because it's like after 20 episodes of being in the dark, he finally knows what's going on. And he's like, imagine that.
Quick cut back to the four Tokyujers sitting inside a dome of something that looks like some Digimon Tamers.
Yeah, see, that was my first thought.
That is a damn big, like, playground dome.
Well, Japanese people are very small.
Oh, of course.
That's totally a dome you would hide Gilmon in.
It is.
Meanwhile, down by the river, Takati wakes up to Akira leaning over and staring at him wearing his glasses. Which is, you know, great.
Well, and then after he takes them off and gives them back, he, like, stands there for a couple seconds trying to get his eyes to refocus. Like, what the hell just happened?
I shouldn't do that again.
Well, it also makes it like, well, it's fine while I was wearing them. What happened?
Do shadow monsters need glasses?
So, while Akira is regaining his eyesight, Takati is whinging on about Mio call me wishy-washy, and Akira's like, yep.
I love that. He's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So, while Takati blathers on, Akira's having a flashback to his deal with the devil.
Finally.
Which just revealed that basically you're working for me now. If the Tokujis are across me, you will kill them.
Yep. Basically, at a time of my choosing, you will do what I want to do. And you'll do it, too, because you're as good as your word. Like, oh, why couldn't you be Captain Marvelous, Akira? Just take the trick. I do like this plot twist, but it's like I was just thinking, like a Gokaiger would have taken that. He's like, okay, sure, and then just ran with it.
Have we ever had a Six Ranger turn traitor?
After like this late after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because usually it's the reverse.
Yeah.
Someone will start evil and then turn good. Whereas that kind of technically happened with Akira, just off screen. But yes, that's an interesting wrinkle. And it is also a good testament to his character is that, yes, he is as good as his word, and for good or ill, apparently.
And that's why he's in such a rush to find their hometown.
Yeah.
Because he's basically going to get them out of the line of fire.
Yeah, and with after so many episodes of him, you know, just kind of being silly and fun, it is nice to kind of, you know, add that new wrinkle onto his plot line of, you know, basically assisted suicide.
He's kind of gotten over that a little bit.
A little bit, but I get the feeling it's going to rear its head soon.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Maybe from a different source than we thought.
So, he snapped out of his flashback by Takati running his mouth. And basically tells Takati, when the time comes, decide to do something.
No matter how hard the decision is.
Decide and commit to it.
Yes.
Murder. So, Takati commits to rubbing his pinky all over his pinky.
Well, there's some.
They hook. They're
it
dangling
makes just as much
together.
Sense in context.
This makes me think of one
together
thing.
And shake them up and down.
What would happen if, if Akira's like, this Schwartz? Nope, didn't count. We didn't pinky promise.
He totally could too.
Oh, I would. That would be the greatest thing.
That would be an excellent out for that. Really.
That would be amazing.
Or if the pinky promise overrode that one.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. Like,
well, the pinky promise wasn't to promise not to kill me. It was promise to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that decision may be.
Yeah, but this is the... Sorry, Schwartz. Doesn't count. You didn't pinky swear on it.
Yes.
Hey, you know what we haven't covered in the Shadow Town yet? What the darkness is enveloping it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So as the four Tokujis run up to a crossroads, hint, 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 they have to make a decision with a bunch of other people that could not make a decision. Do they want to go down the path of explosions or down the path of gunfire? The answer is, I don't know. It was they get water dumped on them from the sky.
And, you know, they're filming this when it's cold, because you can tell just because, you know, what they're wearing. So
yeah.
Nipples. I got to think that's got to be the worst thing.
Yeah, kind of. Why is it water dumped on them when they can't decide?
Because they couldn't
Japanese
afford slime.
Japanese game shows.
Yeah, Japanese game shows.
And then why are the people that are still huddled there not wet?
They've probably been huddled there for a long time. They dried out already.
This happened to Gokaiger too, when and they're in the Hurricane Jar episodes.
I forgot about that. There was a quiz show part of that.
Marvelous show and Luthor.
That's right. We were talking about the sack of nuts.
Right.
I think I have a sound clip of you saying something to that effect. This is how I remember past recordings, by what quotes I've taken for out of context use later.
Right.
Basically, the entire the last five years of doing this, and we are almost at 5 years of doing this now, cry if you want to, is just, it's marked in my head as, you know, little snippets and sound bites of things that can be taken horribly, horribly wrong.
Excellent.
So anyway, water torture?
Yes, let's catch up with Takati and Akira at a different intersection. Where they're faced with a choice between dinosaurs and poisonous snakes.
Which do you want to kill you?
It's
an interesting choice.
Dinosaurs, totally, because dinosaurs are more awesome to be killed by.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Takati has a normal human reaction to it, while Kira is like, make a decision, is it? And I'm like, dude, I don't think this is what you meant.
Well, the dinosaur would probably kill you faster.
Yeah, it's true. You suffer with snakes.
Yeah. I mean, you'd suffer either way, but I think the snakes would be a longer suffering.
Also, note they have a that CGI render of the T-Rex. We'll bring that up again in a minute. Because
they're like getting their mileage out of.
Yes! You know, it's from the preview.
Yep.
What CGI models we have left over from previous series we could reuse again?
Well, see, that isn't even a previous series. I mean, that is, you would think they would have used the one
Didn't they use that in Kyoriger?
No.
No. The one that has feathers. Yeah,
for it to be
the one in Kyoriger has feathers. And I was like, didn't you just have a show with that? Okay. Okay, then.
Okay, so it's not even what do we have left over from previous series. It's what do we have in the stock folder?
Yes!
They used the T-Rex from Double.
It might be. Never know. it's like... I guess they looked at the Gabutera and was like, well, that's recognized as Gabutera as, you know, like, the character. Because it is, you know, technically an actual character.
Let's just not render the feathers.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I like when they can't make the decision and the water's dumped on them and, well, Akira's wearing his hat, so he doesn't really get all that wet.
Yes.
And he doesn't care anyway.
Yeah, like, the actor just shows no reaction to it.
He's wearing a hat, and he's wearing his raincoat.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
And it's not like he has not spent 99% of his life under pouring water.
Right.
As it is.
Exactly.
So it's like, really? Really?
Yeah. Like, what's the problem, Takati?
Isn't this normal?
Around this time, the night villain shows up, to which Akira goes off to battle, leaving Takati to whimper in a pool of sadness.
Mm-hmm. As he is wont to do.
Elsewhere, Nero and Schwartz are going at it hot and heavy.
Yes, they are.
At which point I have an epiphany of that, just from their suit designs, I'd expect their roles to be reversed.
Really?
Nero looks much more like the one that would be outcast, the traitor, so to speak.
And he might
look much more like
the
company man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Nero is going to remain loyal.
Nero's going to die. Like,
yeah,
Nero's
going
to be the first of them to get killed.
Nero's going to die. He's probably going to die first.
Right.
But he's probably going to do it betraying Zed, I think.
Nero is totally the Starscream of the series. He hasn't had a chance to betray anyone yet.
I think Nero is probably going to die defending Zed when Noir makes her move.
That's possible, too.
I think he'll die tripping on some stairs.
Of course, they're also setting him up versus Schwartz here, so Schwartz might take him out. Oh, yeah, I guess we have Rangers in the show, too, but, you know.
They don't matter.
Speaking of which, Akira has managed to hold on to his weapon for once. Too bad his 30 seconds are up and he demorphs.
That's why he held on to his weapon. He didn't have time to get it thrown out of his hand.
Yes!
But awesomely, he doesn't even hesitate to morph into his monster form in a fairly awesome-looking way.
Yeah, it's pretty great. When they run into the situation, he always has a backup.
Because, hey, they still have that costume.
Yeah!
I was like, okay, fine, then check this shit out.
It's like, okay, well, yeah, screw you.
So just as he's getting his ass kicked by the chest seats, enters the sacrificial dichotomy.
Wow.
That's some pretty heavy Cylon.
You're a heavy Cylon.
I think I made out Takati somewhere in there.
I think I heard psychotic.
Psychotic?
Alright, like, so suicidal Takati enters the
suicidal, scene. Okay. Through the Cylon, like through your Cylon accent, it sounded like you said psychotic.
Well, it's close.
Yeah, okay, so suicidal Takati. He's taking after Akira.
Yes.
Yes!
And this really speaks to Akira's heart.
Yeah, I imagine it would. I guess it's enough to get over the fact that he's being saved by Takati.
At which point, the rest of the team catches up with him. The monster is nonplussed.
It's like, how did you make it here? Well,
we chose and ran through it.
We just
smash cut to them running through massive explosions.
Oh, it's always fun when we endanger our actors.
Yeah.
We cut back to them. You notice like all their clothes are all burned on the back.
Yeah, that was there before, but you just didn't notice it.
So, but the monster realizes, you know, I'm fine. Y'all are kind of screwed because you only transform 30 seconds.
And then there's the real screw you moment of the episode.
Yeah.
So we could either, you know, swap trains, or we could just beat you in 30 seconds.
Yeah, just beat your ass into the ground. Which do you prefer?
And they proceed to run a train on this bitch.
I like the initial attack where they just all run up all at once and just try to slap him with their swords.
It was, and that's really cool looking too.
Uh-huh.
I really love the choreography in this show.
Oh yeah.
They've incorporated a train motif into the fighting pretty well a lot of the time.
Yeah.
A lot better than I ever expected that you could.
There's another good thing in next week's episode with like a group sword move.
Oh cool.
I love the action directing in this. It's really good.
Yeah.
So the monster almost escapes, but Akira grabs onto his pole and won't let go.
And for reference, they're in the location from one of the late Gaim episodes where Kota had his little fever dream.
Oh yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So Akira keeps tugging on the monster's pole.
Nope, not gonna let go.
It's like the stubborn 5-year-old. Like, nope, mine.
You know, Akira's the only one that's not actually a child, but he's the one who acts the most like just a petulant little child.
Yeah, he does. And it's even better that he's still in monster form while he's doing
it.
Just caresses Just Away.
So eventually he pulls Just Away off and tosses him way off into the heavens.
After lovingly stroking him and being like, okay, go be with your kind now.
Just Away is far away.
And then we get the best part of the entire episode, the memorial shot of Just Away. Because he threw him away to run and play with all the other Justaways on the farm.
He went to the big farm in the sky.
I just love even
blasting
when they
off
have,
again.
Even when they have this really sedate monster suit, they just find this way to completely make it ridiculous, but awesome.
Suddenly, Justaway bangs against the Gokai Galleon flying in his face. What the hell?
Doc's like, "What was that? Did it damage anything?" And Marvel's like, whatever.
Whatever.
He doesn't even get out of his chair.
Somehow Guy ends up with it and is like... Actually, that would fit his weapon, so you know what?
Totally.
Yeah.
No.
Guy
it,
with
no.
Just
it bounces off the M-bus, wakes him up.
No, it reflects from the Goku got Kelly into the hip bus. So then I was like, how long have we been asleep?
5 more minutes.
All right, so the rest of the team takes pity on Takati for being terrible. So they throw him a bone and toss him the hyper resha and the shotgun. And Akira contributes by adding the drill resha to the mix. So now we're shotgunning a train with a drill on the end of it through a monster's stomach.
Cool. Yes!
That's not horribly violent at all.
Well, I guess the first time a monster's had a hole drilled through it.
Yeah.
Bacurium energy activate, and let's pull out Super Duper Tokyo Odaio.
Or build a city at that, which is weird.
Well, yeah, what was up with that, too? Like, the city grew up with the monster.
They have to keep everything in scale.
I guess.
But that doesn't make sense.
I don't know, that was...
Neither does the city growing up with the monster.
Well, that's kind of my point now, isn't it?
Been defeated the first time, the city was now back on the rainbow line.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, right. Okay, I get you now. So they're not actually in the Shadow Town itself.
Right. Now it's no longer a Shadow Town after he blew up the first
time. Right, okay, yeah, that's right.
So there's the city raising back up to the surface then.
Right.
That's why they can stay transformed long enough to pilot the Megazords.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Thank you, Fort Max.
That actually makes sense.
That's how it's been previous Shadow Town episodes.
I just forgot it. It's been a few episodes since they went to a Shadow Town, so it just completely slipped my mind.
All right, so Super Duper Tokyo and Hyper Megazord. So the Night Monster still seems to think that he's super fast.
Which, like that the things that you move is like the train just rolls up next to him.
It's like, hey, what's up there? Smack.
Well, and like watching this, I was thinking, well, you know, a horse just can't beat a train.
Yeah. And it's kind of bad when Chocho Tokudaio is kind of outpacing you.
Yeah. I mean, it has treads on its feet, so it kind of...
True, but... That's still a lot of mecha there.
Yeah.
I kind of like that they did a lot of stuff showing that he doesn't even have to walk, he can just roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't feel lazy like, you know, Samurai Howl. It's just, it's incorporated into his fight.
Yeah.
Well, it's in his basic, what he's made out of. I mean, he's made to roll. I mean, it's there, the wheels are there on his feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's functional and goes well.
It works and it made the scene look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Alright, so after the battle, they notice that Kira seems to have changed, and they ask Takai, what'd you say to him? Is that didn't say anything? And the team Ra says, yeah, you couldn't have fixed him, so yeah.
It's like, we know better.
Ouch.
And we got our last little stinger scene of Zed whispering sweet threats to Grita in the mirror.
It's like, just you wait.
I'm gonna get you. Yes, I will.
You think you got me? I got you. What if Greta ended up the final villain?
I'm hoping DJ Sagro is gonna be the final villain.
Oh, we can still hope and dream, but that'll never come to be. Because I know one person we know it's not going to be Nero.
So next week on Tokuger, it's movie madness.
So, hey, I guess we're watching that after all.
It'll probably be better.
And it's going to be a Kagura episode. And it's the return of Men in Drag.
Yeah.
Of course, it's Kobayashi.
So one thing about Tokyo, now, because this next episode looks great, but it's like, one thing I've noticed is that, like, when I watch the episode preview, sometimes it'll be like, well, that might look cool, or that might not look great. But when I actually see the episode, I just love it. So it's like, anytime I see one that actually looks good on the outside, I'm like, oh, good.
Well, and considering where we're at in the series, this may well be our last, you know,
goof-off
episode.
That you hit the last core, so.
Yeah. So after next week, it's story time.
Yeah, it'll almost be time for a Christmas episode, which is when everything goes to crap, usually.
Happy holidays!
Yeah, world's ending!
Merry Christmas, time to die.
Speaking of which, let's go right into power playback because we already took our break.
Oh, oh. God damn it.
And this was how superhero time ruined Christmas.
Wow, that was actually a decent segue. Crap.
I know, I tried to do worse, but you guys just made it too difficult to do a bad segue. I don't know what to tell you.
So who gets to suffer this time?
I'm almost tempted to have you do it, but Paladin, you're up.
Do you want for Max yelling at me?
Actually, I kind of do want
that. Don't answer that.
I kind of do want Fort Max yelling at someone again. I don't really care who it is. Just as long as it was, you know, the same heartfelt, genuine yelling at someone, not, you know, just faking it.
It was kind of satisfying, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That told me I was doing it right.
I know. I mean, it's never satisfying when the other person fakes it, because, I mean, like you say, at least if it's genuine, you know you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Are we talking about rim jobs again?
So, tell me, you got an episode up yet?
No, but I think I can go from memory.
This isn't a very in-depth episode, so, you know.
I like this episode.
Do you?
I do.
So I like the parts with Rito, but I guess we'll get to that.
Well,
so
Mickey,
do you
want to
cover it then?
Yeah, if you enjoyed it so much, you're perfectly free to do the summary.
Yeah, Mickey.
Spare us the paladin, you know.
You haven't reviewed anything in a long time.
I know, but I barely paid attention to this. Because I watched it at like 4 a.m.
So close to your bedtime.
Yeah, right before bed.
All right, I'll only fight with Netflix here since it's not as convenient as actually having a video file.
I haven't summarized anything in a long time because we haven't had a Gaim episode in a long time. Like, Gaim's been the only thing that consistently, like, got my mind working enough to where I wanted to, like, do the detailed breakdown of it.
Hmm.
Most of the stuff is, like... Most stuff
you
is
should
like,
do the next Tokuger.
We'll see. The other part of that, too, is I have to watch the episode in enough time before we're going to record so I can actually write out the summary. Because if I try to just do it off the top of my head, we'll be here longer than if Ken was doing it. And it wouldn't be half as funny, either.
You say it's funny that I just like I'll only take that as a compliment this time.
Well, you know, I'm talking about like classic Ken summaries.
Right.
All right. Classic Ken summaries from the era of when we had the bumper that was just watch the show, it's faster.
Yeah. When I, you know, really didn't know what I was doing. I don't claim I do now, but you know.
I'll probably run that this time just because it's called for. But you know.
Yes, good. Do that. Yeah. Of course, again, that encourages people to watch Super Mega Force. So.
They know better by this point, I'm sure.
They should. I should have.
Yeah, you should have. So, Mickey.
It's Christmas time at Angel Grove.
Non-denominational holiday time.
No, it's multi-denominational.
Oh, okay.
It's Xmas.
Holiday festival.
So they've got a bunch of kids who either won a contest to be on the show or just happened to be wandering by the set at the time. Singing, decorating. Kimberly is trying to show off that she can play acoustic guitar.
Trying.
Well, I guess it's not Kimberly trying. It's Amy Jo Johnson trying. Look at me. I can have a music career when I leave here, right?
Totally. Nudge, nudge.
Wink.
I guess Aisha's a choir director for this episode? Sure, why not?
They've done other singing stuff with Aisha, though, so it's kind of in character.
Yeah.
Enter the boys. Apparently Tommy just stole a poinsettia from a funeral.
Well, they couldn't exactly afford to buy him one. Have you seen how much those damn things cost?
Let's see, Ernie enters
and
the scene.
And Paladin's still
mullet.
Single, ladies.
Ernie enters the scene with his mullet blowing in the wind and says, I'm still going to put the star on the top tree, but I'm too fat. Tommy, save me. Save me, Tommy, save me.
Well, he is Ranger Jesus.
Not yet.
Isn't Ranger Jesus the natural enemy of Ranger Christmas? Or Ranger Santa? I don't know.
Well, Ranger Christmas was, you know, Gokaiger, green and red fuse.
Gokai Christmas!
Yeah.
Well, Tommy spots a sad, vulnerable girl alone in the corner with no parental supervision.
And I thought that would be... I'm kind of glad I'm not the only one who read that scene that way.
I need an adult.
I am an adult.
And so Tommy takes the girl and lifts her up over his head and lets her just cram it on the top branch.
Okay.
Despite being manhandled this way, it hasn't really lifted her spirits any.
Kimberly's whining about not seeing her mom for Christmas, which is one of the rare times they ever mention they have parents.
Early in season three, her mom moved to France.
Actually comes up for Kimberly a few times.
Oh, I don't know. It comes up a few times, but, you know, most teenagers are always complaining about their parents.
These teenagers
kind of mention it, like, you know, maybe once or twice, reminding you that, you know, they weren't just spawned asexually by Saban.
Like, I think Bulk and Skull make more reference to their parents than any of the Rangers tend to.
Yeah.
Didn't they kidnap their parents in season two?
Season one.
Yeah, that was when they brought Tommy back.
Right. I keep forgetting where
the first time.
Speaking of Bulk and Skull, they entered the scene complaining about stinky, terrible children around Christmas time, which, you know...
Proving once and for all that Bulk is the best character in the damn show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kimberly's setting up mistletoe. And Tommy leans in going for that kiss. But, oh no, Skull goes in and kisses her instead. Which I guess is the start for how they got married and had kids later on.
Totally.
And he got cock-blocked by Skull, of all people.
Yeah.
And you know, Bulk hangs out underneath the mistletoe for a second longer, but he's probably looking at Kimberly.
Yeah.
Like, Tommy's kind of gives him this stern look.
Well, actually, Tommy kind of sort of leans in a little bit.
He's like, not here. Not here.
Meanwhile, up in the moon, we get, like, one of my favorite scenes of the episode of Lord Zedd going on about how he hates Christmas, and this time he's going to ruin it for sure.
Bah, humbug.
They stop me every Christmas.
It's like, Whoville.
You've only been here for a year. He's like, shut up.
Well, yeah.
So this isn't really related to the plot of the episode, but one thing I noticed in this scene is if you look when Zedd's got his back turned to the camera, you can kind of see where the arms are tearing off of the suit.
Aw.
How sad.
And it just makes me think, you know, Ed Neal, the guy in the suit, I don't think they ever built that suit for how wildly he was going to be waving his arms around playing Zedd.
Yeah. Well, this is end of season three also, so yeah, that's
getting Yeah.
Okay, so here's the second thing about Lord Zedd here in this scene. His plan to destroy Christmas is to give everybody dreidels.
He plans to give everybody these spinning tops that will so fully captivate them and make them only focus on these things. What Power Rangers has done here is to predict Beyblade 10 years in advance. Zedd invented Beyblade.
And it's been established before that Zedd is Jewish, right? Didn't he have a Jewish wedding?
Yes. That's true, he did.
Yes.
I am the one who remembered that.
Oh my god, I forgot.
So, while Zedd prepares his Jewish war on Christmas...
Oh god, okay, you know, like, the writer of this episode was like, yeah, I can do this. Nobody's gonna watch this.
They cut down to the children's choir singing a Jewish holiday song.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you never see that in Christmas specials.
Right.
And lots of shots of Mrs. Killjoy staring at her toes.
Wait, do you mean Kimberly or someone else?
Mickey, did you die?
I'm trying to fight with Netflix here.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to skip around here because they're queuing. Oh, yeah. So Kimberly and Aisha asked this girl, you're being a pill. You're ruining my show. What up? She's like, I don't give a shit because no one's going to watch me. Now, if Aisha was a competent choir director, she'd say, get the hell off my stage. I need Perky. I don't need this attitude.
you're not even a teenager. It's a little too early for you to have attitude. Try out in another 5 years.
Meanwhile, at the North Pole, we've got, I guess this is an elf?
These are the strangest looking elves I've seen in quite a while.
Isn't she the girl that plays the voice of Lois Griffin?
That would require me to watch Family Guy.
Well, but I mean, the actress, though. I can't remember her name, but she was in Catwoman.
Oh. That would require me to watch Catwoman.
You're not making this easy, Ken.
This is why we need JD.
Well, anyway, they've got this short, fat woman and Santa Claus being badly dubbed over. When Rito shows up and is just generally being Rito all up in the scene.
Yes.
And so Rito's taken over the North Pole. Meanwhile, back on Earth, so to speak, Kimberly is talking to Whiny Bitch about, you know, why you being such a pill. And she's like, my dad's abandoning us at Christmas time because he has a job. And at which point, Kimberly puts on the biggest fake smile she can and just lies her ass off. He's doing that because he loves you so much, not because he can't stand to be around you. He probably doesn't, you know, get depressed watching you stare at the ground all day long.
And the thing is, too, like, telling a kid who is sad because their parent isn't around that they're not around all the time because they love you is not really the best, like, motivational speech you can give.
Yeah.
They love you, so they stay away from you as much as possible.
Like, yeah, did anyone else remember... Like... Everyone else here saw Iron Man 3, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, dad's leave, no need to be a wuss about it?
Ah, Tony Stark, a font of wisdom. But, you know, it's almost like... Kind of reminds me of, like... Turbo and Justin, and even that was handled better than this.
I mean, for one thing, they had like a whole series to
fit
that in a little at a time and not just ham hand the whole thing in 20 minutes.
Of course.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean this is anywhere near competent.
No, I am certainly not saying that.
Well, let's get someone competent in the episode then. About this time, Zordon calls on the Rangers back to the power chamber. And he informs them of what's going down at the North Pole. And Zordon
Also, the command center is, like, all decorated and shit.
Of course.
Zordon gives, like, the best line ever here. Rito Revolta has captured the North Pole. He's captured Santa and is forcing the elves to mass-produce Lord Zedd's evil Christmas toy.
And I love how they just take this and they're like, okay. like they don't question it even slightly.
Well, no, Tommy. Tommy says, "What kind of toy is he making?"
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he.
And Zordon responds, "It's an evil toy that has the power to brainwash children."
Beyblade.
So now the Power Rangers have to go and save children from the evil toy that brainwashes them. And holy crap, I just realized the irony of that statement.
Yeah, circa 1995 Power Rangers at that.
Okay, so right after Zordon delivers the best line of the episode, possibly of all humankind, he delivers the second best line.
Is this the explanation? When you get morph?
1 second here, I'm fighting.
Okay.
I want to read what the subtitles say exactly here.
It needs to be said. Cause I heard that when I was watching, I was like, oh my god, that's amazing.
Okay, Rocky says, we gotta get the North Pole and stop Zedd. And Alf is like, hold the fuck up. Okay, here we go now. Zordon. Because of a combination of the North Pole's unique polarity and a cross current of holiday magic, your morphing powers will not work there.
Yes!
Because what the hell?
A cross current of holiday magic.
You know, I was going to say at one point, they're taking it kind of casual that Santa Claus really exists in this world, but this takes place after the magical Christmas, doesn't it? So they've already met Santa Claus.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And so Zoro basically teleports them all to the North Pole, and Alpha tells him to stay warm, and you see Aisha quietly putting on a light jacket.
Yeah, like, they don't even say anything. She just, like, shrugs it on.
So they're at the North Pole, which is surprisingly bright.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that, too.
It's well labeled.
Especially when we get that, like, ground-up shot of the sky a little later.
I guess it's, like, North Pole, comma, a suburb of Angel Grove.
Shh! It's not like they filmed all season 3 in suburbs or anything.
It's North Pole, California.
So the Ranger's first response, at peeking through the keyhole, is let's go kick their ass.
Hey, you know, I can't argue with this logic.
I mean, it usually works.
Yeah.
Rito.
Why mess with success?
Rito was threatening for 3 episodes and then never again.
So then they have second thoughts. They realize, you know what? Santa's in there and a lot of elves. And collateral damage this time of year in this particular location might not be a good idea.
Plus, they don't want to wind up on a naughty list.
Now, come on. If you just accidentally kick Santa in the face, it's not your fault. You can't be held responsible for that.
Be honest, who hasn't wanted to kick Santa in the face at one point?
Well, Pal did not always get coal every year like you do.
You don't?
Of course, Paladin should be happy to get coal because he has something to burn in his trash can then.
That's why Santa does not send him enough coal. He just sends a lump.
Ah, of course.
It's like only good enough for a few minutes.
Yeah.
That just seems even more insulting.
So screw you.
Now, there's an intro quote.
All right, we get a quick shout out back on the moon of Zed. Just delivering Zed dialogue if it's going out of style.
Ah, ha, ha, get down there. Stop them. I must control all the children in the world.
It's just classic Zed, really. I mean, how can you not love that?
Yeah, I know.
After that commercial break, we come back to Bulk and Skull delivering their title card shot. Yay.
Yeah.
And depressed girl, I guess she's out of options. She can't find Kimberly, and she's turned to Bulk and Skull for help.
God. Honestly, though, I think I'd rather go to Bulk and Skull. Think about it. Honestly, if you had a choice.
Yeah, well. So, they deliver to her, like, the least reassuring, sure, we'll help. We're going to go outside and hang out and wait for Santa, and we'll do something, I guess. Bye! Pat, pat, pat. Back at the North Pole, the Power Rangers had this brilliant plan. Since our powers don't work here, I bet their powers don't work either.
That's a hell of a leap, Billy.
Well, he's probably made bigger leaps, to be honest.
Remember that time that he wanted to transplant his brain into a rubber chicken?
Now, if he put it into a robot, it would have worked.
Yeah, well, you know.
Billy just came up with Ryoma.
I was about 20 years too early.
So the Rangers get all Metal Gear Solid up in this shit. They sneak around inside, and they lure Rito outside. At which point, Rito has some performance issues.
Well, happens to everybody, man. In fairness, he is just a skeleton.
And so Golder teleports down, and they resolve this in the only way you can really resolve a Christmas episode.
I like, though, that the best part, though, is that Rito, it's like, okay, so he's treating his sword like a gun. He's treating his sword like a gun, right? So he looks up the length of it, points it at his face. That was totally intentional.
Well, now you know why Rito doesn't have a face anymore.
Exactly. He used to have a gun. Master Vile was like, nope, we're not going to do that again.
anyway, so they resolve this the only way you can resolve a Christmas episode with no powers or fighting, with a snowball fight.
Of course.
Which is just, it's just perfect, really. I mean.
It is Rito and Goldar. It is the last bit, the last vestiges of their dignity are long gone, and soon they will be Bulk and Skull's bitches.
Yeah.
With uniforms to match.
Yep.
So the elves get on the attack on Rito and Goldar, and then they do Christmas pranks and hijinks to Home Alone them away. Santa is freed, and Lord Zedd's plan is ruined.
Now, now I like that Santa, instead of being gagged, just had a bow stuck on his mouth.
Well, he couldn't take it off because you can't take those off until Christmas.
Right.
Of course.
We have rules about that sort of thing.
Back in Santa's workshop, Santa's delivering classic lines like, Christmas is saved thanks to the Power Rangers, which, wow. Just if you're writing episodes just trope by trope, that would be like the number one line.
Yes.
That's probably the line they started with when writing this episode.
Like, yes. You have to have this line in the episode.
Yeah. So, that was the pitch.
And no morphing. So this is actually the second week in a row we've done an episode of Power Rangers that they didn't transform in.
You're right.
Yeah.
Not sure how we managed that, but we did.
Then we cut back to the moon again for this really bizarre scene, which does not make any sense, of like they're exchanging presents now, but they don't like it.
Yeah, well, it's just Rito doing it.
Yeah, they sent Zedd's tops back to them, and then Rito has a present for Goldar, and that's kind of the end of it.
Yeah, but they keep leaning like the present's going to be full of a bomb or like spiders or something. But it cuts way before Lord Zedd opens it. So like, what? Back on Earth, Bulk and Skull are doing the Santa and reindeer bit, where Skull has got a Christmas light dangling from his ear.
Kind of great.
And this scene really does nothing to do anything but reinforce the fact that kids are douches.
Yeah.
And they deserve nothing. Kimberly finds depressed girl. Is her name Betsy? That sounds right.
It is now.
Okay.
I don't actually know what the name was.
Well, anyway, old Betsy's complaining because, nobody's going to see me in here, and nobody cares, and I'm just going to slip my wrist and listen to Linkin Park for the rest of my life. When suddenly Luther Vandross shows up and says, "Hey, little girl, I'm here for you." Because I guess he valued listening more to her terrible singing than a roof over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tommy and Kimberly get their Christmas kiss.
Yay.
Oh, but you skipped the second time they tried, which was right when Zordon was calling. And, okay, so, that part happened, but then, Tommy and Kimberly are both standing under the mistletoe and Tommy waves the others over. And, just for this split second, there's a look on their faces like, do we have to go watch them make out again?
you know the other four have to talk about them behind their backs. God.
Because we all have the set of friends growing up, the two of them are dating, like Jesus, just give it a rest.
They're that couple, capital letters.
Yeah, that totally. Couple. Totally.
Just after completing their mistletoe coitus, I guess. Kimberly lets out an ear-piercing bat shriek as her parents wander in the scene. And
her mother and her new French dad.
Dude, they got playing your dad. Is he a key grip or something?
Probably.
Well, he was in the season earlier, right?
Was it the same person though?
I don't know. Is her mom the same person?
I don't know. I haven't watched that episode in years.
And the episode closes out with Silent Night, as sung by the world's most bored children's choir.
led by the world's most bored little girl.
And we get lots of oddly milky face shots of everybody. Billy looks drunk as shit. He has had all of the Christmas eggnog.
I was gonna say he's been hitting the eggnog on the craft services table a little bit more than everybody else.
I mean, he is approaching Carrie Fisher levels of gone in this, like from the holiday special.
He doesn't have much dialogue in this episode either.
No, just really that one line.
Yeah.
And the episode ends with a Merry Christmas from everybody. Yay.
Well, it's all downhill from here.
I really like this as a goofy, cheesy, corny Christmas episode.
It is a very 90s Christmas episode.
I mean, I'll admit, this is not as bad as I remembered it being.
It hits all the right notes and tropes. I mean, it's corny and stupid, but it's still kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, like, Bulk of Santa is kind of endearing.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to either be Bulk or Ernie, and, you know.
Yeah, you know.
They probably couldn't have found a Santa costume to fit Ernie.
Oh. But still, it's kind of endearing, and of course Netflix has the, Netflix, you know, keeps the bloopers, and instead of bloopers, we get a conversation with Rito and the elves.
Presumably before he stops to get Zed Chinese food.
Right.
Yes. The only thing that's really missing is, like, Zordon's chamber to be turned into, like, a snow globe.
Oh, man. Or, you know, just Photoshop a Santa hat on Zordon.
Yes! I was halfway expecting that. I was almost disappointed it wasn't there.
It's not like Alpha hasn't done something along that line before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that was just when he was evil.
Actually, Fort Max,
Yes. Your
memory might work a little better for this.
Did they actually
do that in the Zeo episode we're watching next week? Because I really think they did put a Santa hat on Zordon in the Zeo Christmas episode.
The thing about next week, I can't find it on Netflix.
Which one's next week?
Zio's
Christmas. A very Zio Christmas.
Oh, it's Zio one. Oh, I thought we were doing the Alpha one.
Yeah, but I don't think Alpha is on Netflix, though.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that kind of raises the problem. How do we get Alpha's Magical Christmas? Fort Max?
Without being stuck with the Samurai Christmas special.
Fort Max, do you have any ideas here?
Yes, this sec.
While Fort Max is investigating that, the ninja suits have apparently been leaked.
Yeah, snap. Give me that shit.
While Fort Max is investigating entirely legal ways to watch this.
We're not making any comment. Because we're this could still be fake, too, for all we know.
Okay, let's see here.
It could, but it looks pretty, you know.
It's a lot of effort for a fake if it is.
I
don't think this is a fake. It's got copyright on it.
It's not a toy copyright.
I like it. And the thing about Sentai suits is that just because you like them does not mean the show will be terrible.
Also, check this. We have a white and a pink.
Oh, I like that.
And the yellow is male.
Yellow's a dude.
And so is blue.
It has my favorite thing of late. Primary color. And with a dark color.
Ah, right.
In terms of design. Yeah. It's not quite... I don't think it's black. It might be a silvery gray. It might be black.
Yeah, it's the same gunmetal as the Kyoryuger arms.
Right. But also, it looks like I think the... It's hard to really tell from here, but I think the girls... The girls do like the Gokaiger and Shinkenger do, where it's the black legs and with the skirt, which... doesn't
Probably.
Yeah. Which is not what Kyoryuger did, which kind of threw me a little bit.
Okay, so we got a belt with a circle dealie on the side of it.
Everybody has swords. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, ninja, you know.
Yeah, but
Hurricaners and Aqua Rangers all had swords, too, so that's not much of a surprise.
Yeah, well, I'm finding that lately I like, you know, uniform weapons more than individual weapons sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What I'm liking about this, they're kind of taking, like, a lot of the positive elements from several costume designs and putting them together.
Right.
You know, you got the shaped visors and no, like, faceplate part. Oh,
yeah, that's when's the last time they did that?
You got the Kyoryuger sash design, probably Shinkenger?
Shinkenger, yeah, that's what it's reminded me of.
You got the Kira Ranger sash thing. You've got Hurricane's basic design with the faux chainmail undersuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're taking a lot of these design tropes and putting them together into something that I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means the show's going to be terrible because I like the costumes.
No. Again, with Sentai, that's not the case. Like, you know, look at Shinkenger or look at Gokaiger. Look at GoBusters.
That's true.
That's true, yeah. Maybe that's more of a writer trope than Sentai.
It is definitely a writer trope.
So I'm trying to figure out what's going on with these visors. Why is the top notch of it white?
It's
or
just
silver.
The top looks like it's chrome.
Yeah, I think it's just a stylistic thing.
It's just kind of strange. Why doesn't it go with all black?
Well, it has the same design as the bottom part of the visor. I think they just.
I'll tell you why it's not all black. Because they want a brow line in the visor shape.
Yeah, they want a brow line, and they just didn't want to do the same thing they did with Shinkenger, I think.
Yeah, they want the, like, the four-side shuriken shapes, but they want a brow line on there, too.
Oh, they are all shuriken shapes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Also, they got the shurikens on their sashes as well.
Yeah.
It looks like their sword hilt has a place to snap something onto it as well.
Yeah,
what would be kind of awesome is if they worked in shurikens for each one of them that look exactly like their visors. make an entrance and you know it's just like that shuriken.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be easy enough to do.
Yeah.
No, this is some really nice costume design. I'm liking what I'm seeing here.
Like, you know, completely reserve any judgment for the show until we actually see more of that.
Well,
but...
of course.
Yeah. With any luck, we should see more over the course of the week if these are real.
Definitely, or at least better.
Yeah. Or, a more high-quality shot of this that's an actual scan and not a phone shot because you know, so few people in Japan have freaking scanners.
Well, a scanner takes up, like, half the floor space in the average Japanese apartment, so...
Of course.
So,
was that about the first Thursday in November?
First Thursday in December is traditionally when the cattle roll is online.
So next day or so, basically.
The first Thursday in December is when the cattle rolls out?
That catalog goes online.
Oh, so okay.
See, like, the images of the first wave of toys.
Ah, yes, yes.
This is a very positive first thing to see of the Ninja. I'm pleased.
Yeah, and a white and a pink is surprising. That's
I know. Interesting. The top of the helmets have got a separate ridge on them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Look at blue. You see it most nice on the top of his helmet.
You can also see it on pink and, to a lesser degree, red. I think the ridges are all different shapes, too.
Could they be in for some kind of gimmick involving the helmets?
I think it's just design. It's just an interesting design.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get, like, a line shift thing again. Considering how Tokyo's downplayed that for most of the series, I don't think that's something they want to go back to again. So, Fort Max, while we've been talking about this, have you come up with
what we've been looking for? Yeah, I'll make an encode from the DVD.
Cool.
It'll be magical.
Yes.
Fort Max's magical encode. Or something. Well, anyway, this seems like a good note to end the episode on. So next week we'll be having Zio's Christmas special, the title of which I can't remember off the top of my head because I think I only ever watched it one time. Ever.
Is it actually called A Very Zio Christmas?
It should be.
Oh, okay.
All right, you know what? Before we end... I am going to the episode guide on Wikipedia, and we're going to find out because this is probably important. And this will only take a second anyway.
You'd be fantastic if we went ahead and tweeted the power playback now, so next Monday afternoon we want to find out what the hell we decided on.
It's a season to remember.
Ah, yeah. It's listed as episode 29 on Wikipedia's episode guide.
Good enough. Of course, by the time this episode posts, the Ninja shit will probably be confirmed fake.
And it actually...
At least going by our previous luck.
They have the original air date for it as November 27th.
Yes. So, basically, around Thanksgiving or on? Maybe?
Well, somebody dig back in their calendar and find out what day... Formax, can you do that math in your head where you can figure out the day? Darn.
You're supposed to be an engineer, Formax. You took math classes.
I don't think taking math classes necessarily makes you able to do that, though.
6 November. That was the day before Thanksgiving on November 1996.
Okay, then. Good to know, for whatever reason.
Yes.
It's more like, why do you air the Christmas episode the day before Thanksgiving? Although...
It's ahead of its time.
Although, I can tell you exactly what episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1 aired Thanksgiving 93. It was I Guy.
Oh god, I think you're right. I didn't want to hang out with family, I was a kid. Of course I would watch Power Rangers.
And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Night.
Later.
Farewell.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So we're talking about SP Prowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking on a website, and suddenly the ad that came up for Toys R Us advertises Masterpiece Prowl and Sunstorm.
Well,
I'm a little disturbed by that.
Skype is monitoring us.
Yeah.
Probably.
And tailoring your website ads for you.
Probably is. I think that's a good place to end it.
Okay, then. Good night.
That'll be my nightmare. Skynet is coming.
Yes, SkypeNet is coming.
Skynet is coming for all of us.
No, SkypeNet, not Skynet.
SkypeNet, oh, fuck.
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.